Good morning, and you're very welcome this morning, this first Sunday in December. This year we're going through the Old Testament book of Ruth during the 4 weeks of Advent. And we are looking at and discovering the parallels between this ancient text and the Christmas story. We have seen that the events, the story of Ruth and the Christmas story, have several similarities. Excuse me. In fact, the reason that Jesus was born in Bethlehem is because of what takes place in this story of Ruth. Last week, we looked at the beginning of the story of Ruth and Naomi as compared to the Christmas story. Naomi was from Bethlehem, and because of a famine, she and her family chose to leave Bethlehem to go to a foreign land. And in that foreign land of Moab, Naomi's sons married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And those weddings may have been the only happiness for Naomi during her time in Moab. Within 10 years, her husband died, and her two sons died, leaving her a widow and without a male heir. During that time in history and within the Middle Eastern cultures, she had no claim to her husband's lands or wealth. She was destitute. She convinced Orpah to stay and start a new life for herself, but Ruth made a life-changing decision. She was going to stay with Naomi, forsaking her own Moabite culture, and live with Naomi, adopting her people and her God. Ruth made a heart decision to worship the true God and to forsake all that she knew. It was a radical commitment in life that would be a part of the Christmas story. Just as young Mary made a radical commitment of faith to travel to Bethlehem to be the mother of Jesus. Last week we focused on the women in the story, Ruth and Naomi. This week we will focus on the story of a righteous man who offered kindness, protection, and provision to a young woman in her time of need. So when we last left Ruth and Naomi, they had just returned to Bethlehem. Everyone was rejoicing and celebrating that Naomi had returned, yet Naomi was not at all happy, but said, "Don't call me Naomi," because her name meant pleasant, but Mara, which means bitterness, because she felt that God had dealt bitterly towards her. Her only companion was her daughter-in-law, Ruth, who had made the commitment to stay with her and to adopt the ways and worship the people and worship, to adopt the ways and worship of the people of Israel. Naomi was not expecting to marry. She had no grandsons, so she was bitter and depressed. Well, Boaz now enters the scene, and the book of Ruth is not just a Christmas story, but it is a love story, an unlikely love story between an older man and a younger woman. It is the story of Ruth and Boaz, and it is a beautiful story of love and commitment and faith that would result in the birth of a baby who would be part of the world-changing Christmas story. So the main thing we learn about Boaz is that he is a righteous man. Now, what does a righteous man look like? What is a righteous man? What does that mean? How does one become a righteous man? Well, let's notice five characteristics of a righteous man here in chapter 2. And of course, these are characteristics for both men and women, but this chapter is focused on Boaz, a righteous man. And as we did last week, and as we will each week as we go through this, we won't read the chapter at the beginning. We are going to walk our way through the chapter. We'll read it as we go along. Well, first of all, a righteous man puts God first in his life. Not himself, not anyone else, but God is always first. Look at verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. So what does this tell us about Boaz? He's a relative of Naomi's husband, of the same clan, the same family, and he was a worthy man, a man of good standing, as some translations say. Being a relative of her dead husband will be vitally important later in the story. And since he is a worthy man, a man of good standing, it means he was important in the community. He had power, wealth, influence, and a good reputation. Now, in the next couple of verses, Ruth decides to go do some work to provide for herself and her mother-in-law. And she decided to go and glean what she could in the fields. The next two verses say, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech." Now what did that last verse of chapter 1 say? When they came to Bethlehem, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. So why was this important? It was part of God's provision. When God gave the law to Moses and to Israel, he made provision for poor people. In Leviticus 23, verse 22, God commanded Israel, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the alien or the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." Well, Ruth was poor, and she was from Moab. She was also an alien, a foreigner. So she checked both boxes. So when Ruth went out and happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, well, God does not work in happen to and luck, but it was all part of God's plan. There are no coincidences in God's plan for Ruth, for Boaz, and for us. God's hand was clearly in the events of Ruth's and Boaz's lives. And in verse 4, we finally meet Boaz. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" A righteous man puts God first in his life, and it seems clear that Boaz put God first in his life, in his work, and in his people. The first words we hear from his mouth is, "The Lord be with you." Boaz was a man who loved God. He loved the people who worked for him, and they seemed to love him equally as they replied back, "The Lord bless you." When's the last time you greeted someone with, "The Lord be with you"? Has your boss ever greeted you with that? And just think about it. Are you putting God first in your life? Do you treasure God above all else? A righteous person puts God first in their life. Well, second, a righteous man shows kindness to the poor. We see this in the next few verses. I'll read the next few. "Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, 'She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Well, every love story has that critical moment when boy meets girl, girl meets boy. It's love at first sight. Well, okay, well, maybe not always, but there is definitely something there. Here is Boaz, the wealthy landowner with many people working his fields for him, plus who knows how many other people are working in other areas of his farm and his household. And he goes out to watch the barley harvest and to encourage his workers, as well as watching over the poor who would also be gleaning in the field with his harvesters. Well, Boaz notices this poor alien woman. She's definitely not from around here. He asked his foreman who that woman was, and he's told that she's the one from Moab. She came back with Naomi. See, everybody was so excited that they came back, and she's somewhat of a celebrity. Well, she asked if she could glean behind the harvesters, and she has been working hard all day long. Well, Boaz noticed her. She was a foreigner. She was an outsider. But Boaz not only noticed her, but he spoke kindly to her. The next few verses. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field, or don't leave this one. But keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground and saying to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" How did he show kindness? Boaz told her to only work in his fields. Don't go anywhere else. Work with his young female workers. And the men have been told not to bother you. And when you're thirsty, drink from the same vessels as my workers. In essence, you have the same protection and perks as my workers. So Ruth, as a poor female outsider, she knew her place in life. And she was overwhelmed by his kindness, falling face down before him, asking why did she find any favor? Why did this wealthy man even take time to notice her? Jesus told us this is the best way to give to people. Give knowing that they cannot repay. Give because it is the kind thing to do. A righteous man is kind to the poor. Jesus said in Luke 12 to 14, he said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brother or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." And this is why ministries such as Operation Christmas Child, which is the shoebox ministry that sends shoeboxes all over the world, or Project Angel Tree are so amazing. Items are collected in those shoeboxes and sent to regions all over the world so that children can get presents for Christmas and there's a gospel presentation for them. They do not know who gave, and they could never repay, but they are thankful. Project Angel Tree is a similar ministry for children in the U.S. I don't know if they have it here or in Europe, but whose parents are in prison, and allows them to get presents for Christmas when they most likely would get nothing. It is a kindness towards the poor who can never repay. Well, the third point is a righteous man encourages people in their walk with the Lord. Ruth had no idea why Boaz was so kind to her. And as a righteous man, he encouraged her new faith in the God of Naomi and Israel by saying, in verses 11 and 12, "But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. I know your story, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.'" Isn't this beautiful? Boaz is truly emotionally moved by the actions of Ruth. Someone from the town, or maybe many people, had explained all that Ruth had done for Naomi. Boaz knew her story. And when Boaz looked at Ruth, he didn't see a poor alien woman working in his fields. He saw a woman who had made a radical commitment of faith to the Lord by coming to Israel and taking care of Naomi. Boaz saw this, and he encouraged Ruth with the words of a blessing. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel. Why? Because she had taken refuge under the wings of God. Have you thought about this in your life? Have you come under the wings of the grace of God? God promises to never leave you nor forsake you. If you place your trust in Jesus, you are His. And Jesus died on the cross so that you could have a relationship with God and come under His protection. We need to encourage each other to keep our eyes on Christ and to look to Him for our strength. Well, Ruth was encouraged by Boaz's words, and her response in verse 13 is, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. A righteous person encourages people in their walk with the Lord. Are you encouraging someone today? Ruth definitely was encouraged. Well, the fourth characteristic of a righteous man is that he will protect and provide. Let's read in the next few verses. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied. And she had some left over. And when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. Boaz showed Ruth further kindness by providing her a substantial meal for lunch. Who knows when the last time she had a decent meal? She was allowed to eat as much as she wanted, as well as take extras as leftovers. Then she got up to continue working. Now, usually the gleaners were the ones who walked behind the harvesters to collect whatever fell behind the reapers, And Boaz told his men to allow Ruth to glean, even among the sheaves. The sheaves were the bundles of grain that were stacked up to be taken to storage. She was allowed to glean from the bundles of grain. Also, Boaz told his men to purposely leave behind grain for her to glean. He provided for her needs, and he protected her. She had not only herself to care for, but to bring back food for Naomi. Boaz knew this, and he was making sure both women were cared for. A righteous person cares for those in need by providing for their needs and protecting them. We care for people in this way by providing them with food, shelter, a bus ticket, doing small jobs for them that seem small to us but are difficult for them. Because the culture of this world is every man for himself. You do you. You take care of yourself. God wants us to be counter-culture. God wants us to care for the poor and needy, providing for them and protecting them. Well, the fifth characteristic, God uses a righteous man to bless others. Boaz put God first in his life. He showed kindness to the poor. He encouraged Ruth in her walk with the Lord, and he protected her and provided for her. So what was the result of all this? In verses 17 and 18, so she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over from lunch after being satisfied. Ruth worked hard all day in Boaz's field, and how was she blessed? With an ephah of grain. Now, okay, how many here know what an ephah is? I mean, when you went to the last time you went to the butcher, did you ask for an ephah of beef mince. We would all be amazed if you did, because an ephah is about 22 liters in volume and over 30 pounds in weight. That would be a lot of beef mince. And that's a lot of barley grain. Most gleaners would have been happy for a tenth of that. God not only blessed Ruth with what she needed, but blessed her abundantly for herself and Naomi. The amount of grain for two people, that amount of grain would last a month or more, with some to spare. Now it is Naomi's turn to be amazed. Remember the bitter version of Naomi? That is about to change. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." And Naomi also said to her, "The man is a relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Naomi, formerly known as Mara, the bitter woman, now is back to being the pleasant woman, saw that Ruth struggled to bring into the house at 30 pounds of the ephah of barley, and she instantly thought that God had blessed Ruth. Her bitterness left, and she stated, "Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And when she heard the name Boaz, she instantly knew the reason and knew that the Lord was behind all this. Naomi introduces the important concept of the kinsman redeemer, which we will look at more closely in the next couple of weeks. But wait, there is more good news. Because Ruth tells Naomi in the last three verses, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So the good news is that this wasn't just a one-off blessing from Boaz, but he invited Ruth to follow his workers every day throughout the entire harvest season. Naomi, with her protective instincts, she tells Ruth to stay close to the women, be safe as you work each day. But she not only gleaned during the barley harvest, but also the wheat harvest. The barley was first, then the wheat came. She had about 7 weeks of work that supplied them with enough grain for the year. God used a righteous person to bless them. Do you want your life to be a blessing to others? Then follow God. Follow Jesus. Allow God to form his righteousness in you. It is not your righteousness. We have none. Our righteousness comes from the Lord. Boaz's righteousness came from the Lord. Now I can hear you thinking, "That's a nice story, Mark, but what does this have to do with the Christmas story?" Well, let's look at the similarities. There was a righteous man in the Christmas story. His name was Joseph. In Matthew 1, 18 to 25, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, which was Gabriel, appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us." And that's from Isaiah. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. See, Joseph was a righteous man. He put God first in his life, as we can see through his obedience to God throughout the Christmas story. He showed kindness towards Mary when he found out that she was pregnant. He could have divorced her, which meant canceling the betrothal, but he did not, even to the possibility of his own shame. He protected her, and he planned to end the relationship so that she would not be publicly disgraced. But God spoke to him through the angel, Gabriel, and he took Mary as his wife and provided for her as a husband provides for his wife. And because of Joseph's righteous actions, God blessed the whole world, each of us, through the birth of his son, Jesus. See, the book of Ruth is a love story of a righteous man who offered kindness, protection, and provision to a young woman in her time of need. And the Christmas story is also the love story of a righteous man who offered kindness, protection, and provision to a young woman in her time of need. How do you become a righteous person? It is only through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that any of us can become righteous before God. The word righteous means a right standing. There is nothing that we can do to stand righteous before God, but only because of our faith in Jesus and He giving us His righteousness. Philippians 3, 8 and 9 says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." The title of today's sermon is The Righteous Man, and there was only one true righteous man on earth, and that was Jesus. Boaz, righteousness, came through his faith in God. Joseph's righteousness came through his faith in God. Our righteousness only comes through our faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Christ, and you, too, can become a righteous person who puts God first in your life, who shows kindness to the poor and needy, who encourages others in their walk with the Lord, who provides and protects, and may God use your life to bless others. Let's pray.